Hello, everyone. Today I have a word that God has been putting on my heart that I want to present to you today. Now, there are other teachings that talk about the Great White Throne Judgment. You know, and Bishop Alan Didio did one recently. I felt from the Lord that I need to present it from a judicial standpoint. In other words, one time after I started learning about the Courts of Heaven teaching, because, you know, when I learned about it, I don't just take this stuff like, okay, how do I get healed from the Courts of Heaven, or, you know, like most people do. But I've always been, I don't know if I would say fascinated, it's just, but I've always had a wiring, if you will. The Lord has kind of interwoven into my DNA a sense of, I'll just say fascination, for lack of better words, with, like, I used to teach and understand a lot in the past about the Great White Throne Judgment. And in fact, I didn't publish any of them, but I actually wrote a book one time on the subject, kind of like a fictional story of what it might look like. And so I had this sense, and I've always, you know, I think just out of my love for the lost, for those that don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I've had a sense of, you know, among other mixed motives as well, that thankfully the Lord is peeling away at, you know, any of them that I don't know of, that I have, you know, all of that that entails being human. And so, during the time I was preparing a sermon for one of the Tuesdays that we ministered, I asked the Lord, basically, I said, where is the Great White Throne Judgment going to happen? Which, I mean, it should be a no-brainer. Well, although heaven and earth pass away, it's in essentially the court system that's going to be responsible. It's going to be the courts of heaven. It's what the Lord had shown me and told me. And so, as best as I can, I'm going to attempt to present it from this perspective today, but also I want you to this is not just for Christians. This is for those, this is an evangelistic type of message that needs to be presented. And I'm going to start with two passages of scripture with that in mind. One of them is found in John 17, verse 3. It says, eternal life, this is Jesus praying, he says, eternal life is to know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. For those that are Christians, the Bible talks about us being seated in heavenly places. That Christ died, and when he died, we died, and when he rose, we rose. And so when we came to know Christ, basically that was our way of appropriating these principles. Baptism was a symbol, was a public profession that this had been done. Now, I want to show you something else, though. In John 3, verse 36, it says, "Those who do not obey the Son," talking about Jesus, "shall not see life." But I want to show you this principle in Deuteronomy. I think it's chapter 32. I should have looked at this before I mentioned it. But I want us to look at this principle. Okay. Let's read see where this begin. Let's start at verse 30. How could one chase 1,000 and two put... No, hold on. Start at verse 35. "Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for their day of calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them." That's what verse 35 says. I want to back up and give some context, though. So we're on Deuteronomy 32. This is a song of Moses that the Lord had Moses write and teach so that the future generations could know it. So here's what the full song states from verses 1 to 35. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the deer. As raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. I forgot to pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the word of God, which is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father God, I thank you for the anointing right now, the anointing of Samuel, that not one word would fall to the ground. Father, I thank you for the ability that you've given me to partner with your servant of old, Jonathan Edwards. Father God, I ask for the combined anointing of the prophets of old that preach, teach, prophesy concerning the end times, Lord. I thank you for the ability to articulate your word through the anointing of the, not with the eloquence, but through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. These, that my words would surpass, just as they did in the days, or that the Spirit of God would surpass the words that I speak, just as they did in the days of Jonathan Edwards and even Peter, Lord, when it says in your word that the word pricked the hearts of people. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now back to Deuteronomy 32. We're going to start at verse 3. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without justice. Righteous and upright is he. I want to give a word to the church today. Most, let me just say this. I apologize for the background noise. This is a compromise, you know. We have 7 years. Come April, I want you to mark your calendars for April 8th. There's going to be, a lunar eclipse. If you go to the recent teachings from Encounter Today, I think it's a live video. If you don't find it on videos, go to the live tab on their YouTube. But it's one of the most recent videos that Bishop Alan Didio, actually it is live, it was live, but did it, so I think it'll be on their live tab, that they did. And they show an interview with Troy Brewer, and prophetically what the significance to this eclipse is. 2017, there was another eclipse like it, and it passed through each of the cities of that, I think they said, the Civil War, and ended at the city that the Confederates surrendered. And this time, this eclipse picks up where the other one left off, basically. But this last one signified 7 years of peace. And I say all of this, and then to top that all off, they mention the book of Jonah. And there's a sign, this next eclipse is going to pass through the I thought it was just one city, but it's, I think, I can't remember how many, Nineveh cities in Texas. And add to that, there's a prophetic word on a video that I listened to from Patricia King. And I'll just say that it's, to not complicate things too much, it was before the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah and the way they interpret their years, this year would be 5/7/8/4 in the Jewish calendar. I thought I'd go ahead and say it, but for those of you that are believers in Christ, that, or even just if you're interested in finding out where I found all this, she talked about a vision the Lord gave her concerning the plans of Satan. And for this nation, which would be, and catch the number, 7 years, and if in 7 years The compromising church does not repent. He's got legal right in the courts of heaven to take this nation, to take America down. But if the compromising, if there's a lot of repentance in the compromising church within those 7 years of time, the devil will have lost his legal right over this nation to destroy it. So, I am here to do my part as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as an ambassador of Christ, to preach the word of God, to bring to you biblical values as best as I can. To minister to the church, as well as to those that don't believe. I am here to stand in the gap for you, but also to bring to you the word of the Lord through this podcast. Okay? And again, if you can hear that, I apologize for the background noise. Our walls are not very background, you know, not very, what's the word? Soundproof. But anyway, let's see, where did I stop? So Jesus is the rock. And our God is the God of truth, and he is without injustice. He is righteous and he is upright. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father except through me. That's found in John 14, verse 6. In Isaiah 45, God says, "I am the Lord, there is no other." And I'm paraphrasing as best as I can. Basically, there is no other God besides me. There are other gods, little g. But they're demons. They are not a part. They don't give, basically in the words of the scripture, when people celebrate and worship the idols to these demons, the Bible says they are deaf, blind, they can't answer your prayers, they can't, you know, they can't speak. And so, and they can't answer by fire. Only God can answer by fire. So we as the church would do well to get into the Bible, to get into the Word of God, and to start believing the Word of God. Don't give off this excuse of, "Well, my pastor didn't ever teach on that." There's things, you know, when I first started reading the Word, I don't know that I ever, like in church, and this is just when I first started, heard about praying for those in authority. It never dawned on me. But then when I started getting into the Word, boom. Wait a minute, you mean to 2 Timothy? It blew my mind. And so when I read the Bible, the Lord himself taught me. I'm not saying there's no need for ministers. I'm not saying that there's no need for podcasts. How would one know if they're not taught? But the fault is not fully on the minister. Because those that are that do have Bibles, those that are believers, we all, each of us, have a responsibility to learn the Word of God for ourselves. Amen? Verse 5. They have corrupted themselves, they are not his children. Because of their blemish, a perverse and crooked generation. Do you deal thus, or do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the wasteland a howling wilderness. He encircled him, he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest. Hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on their on its wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign god with him. The Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign god with him. And led them. He made him ride in the heights of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the fields. He made him draw honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats, with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick. You are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to idols, not to God, to gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals, that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, you are unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. And when the Lord saw it, he purposed them because of the provocation of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. It shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap disasters on them. I will send my arrows on them. They shall be wasted with hunger, devoured by pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword shall destroy outside. There shall be terror within. For the young man and virgin, the nursing child with the man of gray hairs, I would have said, I will dash them in pieces. I will make the memory of them to cease from among men. had I not feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should misunderstand, lest they should say, our hand is high, and it is not the Lord who has done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, nor is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock had sold them, and the Lord had surrendered them? For their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes like of gall, their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents, and the cruel venom of cobras. I'm going to stop for a minute at verse 33. The Bible talks about the judgments of God. We're in the New... I want to talk to you for a moment. We're in the New Testament. But this concept of the courts of heaven did not start in the New Testament. It has been said by scholars, by Bible scholars, that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible, older than even Genesis. And Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2 record instances where the sons of God appeared before the Lord. And Satan appeared with them in the courts of heaven. And the teachers that the Lord led me to read and to look at concerning the courts of heaven, the Lord showed them that Satan, in the sense that he accuses as well as tempts, he is also an officer of the court. That's how he's able to appear in the courts of heaven. And that's how Job was able to be tested. I say all that to say, if God's hand is on America, Satan will not be allowed to destroy this nation. But if God lifts his hand of protection off of her, the enemy, it's just like Israel. If you look at natural Israel and you look at all of the stories in the Old Testament where the walls were broken down, things like that, they disobeyed God, so God left their... Then the natural enemies, like, you know, the Philistines and, you know, they invaded Israel, and for a time Israel was plundered until they called back to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. If you look at specifically the book of Judges, there are some prophecies today that are yet to be fulfilled about them, you know, every Jew returning to his homeland, Israel, things like that. But looking at it just from the standpoint of the battles in the past that they've experienced. And so this is what I mean by a judicial standpoint. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for, in spite of maybe even how complex this sounds, I thank you for giving everyone the natural as well as spiritual ears to hear these words. And I thank you for tugging at the hearts of those that need to hear, that need to come to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm reading again this book on the Courts of Heaven by Dr. Francis Miles. And I want to read to you right quick what is said concerning Satan being an officer of the court. For those of you that are on iBooks, if you intend on getting this book, I'm going to begin on page 64. It says, "First and foremost, the Lord began to show me that the word Satan in Hebrew means the accuser or adversary. In the Hebrew language and culture, everything has a hidden meaning, especially the name of a person or thing. The word adversary comes from the Greek word antidikos. Dikos is the Greek word for rights, as in one's legal rights. Essentially, an antidikos is someone or an entity that infringes on your legal rights. This understanding positions Satan as a legal opponent more than a street fighter who hates the believer." He continues, "In Hebrew, the name of a person or entity is meant to capture the spiritual essence, meaning, destiny, and nature of a thing. So by calling Lucifer Satan, which also means accuser, God is telling us a mouthful concerning what Lucifer has become and his primary assignment on earth after his fall from heaven. An accuser in any legal system is essentially someone who brings charges against you that results in a prosecution or lawsuit. The Holy Spirit said to me, 'Francis, even though Lucifer was cast out of heaven,'" meaning he lost his residency in heaven, "'he nevertheless has access to only one part of heaven until the consummation of this age of sin. God has given him a limited access to the courts of heaven. And he continues on another part of this. He says, "The Lord showed me that no self-respecting judge or judicial system would allow a trial to proceed without first seating both the prosecutor, the prosecution, and the defense or advocate. Satan is the prosecutor, as he is the one who files charges of sinful behavior against the saints in the courts of heaven." Or, I believe he doesn't, I personally don't believe he just accuses the saints, but the Bible says that those who do not believe in God are already have the wrath of God upon them. So I believe all of us have, by default, we have a case against us in the courts of heaven. When we come to Christ, we have an advocate with Christ, but also, with the help of the Lord, we ourselves can you know, in partnership with the Lord, can answer that case. Even if you don't, I believe, even if you don't that go into the courts of heaven, you can do it by prayer, repentance, curse breaking, you know, getting deliverance, things like that. And I want, you know, just going by what I feel like the Lord is telling me, though, it would be more effective, seeing as this is a court situation, it would be more effective for you know, if we learned about the courts of heaven and how to enter in, and we can answer the case from there. But let's continue. Read verse 34. Is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasuries? Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time. For their day of calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. For the Lord will judge his people, verse 36, and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is no one who remains. There is no one remaining, bond or free. He will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge? Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise and help you and be your refuge. Now see that I am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Nor is there any one who can deliver from my hand. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I wet my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrow drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh with the blood of the slain and the captives from the heads of the leaders of the enemy. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and his people. So Moses, okay, verse 43 is actually where it ends, because then it says, so Moses came with Joshua, the son of Nun, and spoke all the words of the song in the hearing of the people. So, in the book of Proverbs, I think it's chapter 3, concerning wisdom, Solomon talks about Lady Wisdom saying, because you have mocked me, you know, because you have rejected me, I will laugh in your day of calamity. And so it's well advised now that we have got to learn to seek wisdom. We've got to learn to be wise. Kiss the sun, as it says in Psalms 2. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way. So before we talk about the Great White Throne Judgment aspect of this teaching, I want us to turn to the book of Genesis. And I'm going to be reading this from the Passion Translation. And it says, Yahweh appeared once again to Abraham while he lived by the oak grove of Mamre. During the hottest part of the day, Abraham sat at his tent door. He looked up and suddenly saw three men standing nearby. Okay, let's see. Let's actually go down to verse 16. Afterward, the three men departed and walked towards Sodom. And Abraham went off with them to see them on their way. As they walked, Yahweh said, "Should I really hide from Abraham what I intend to do? After all, he will become a great and powerful nation, and every nation on earth will seek bliss like his. It is true, I have singled him out on my own, so that he will lead his family and household to follow my ways and live by what is right and just. I will fulfill the promises that I have spoken to him." Yahweh explained to Abraham, "The outcry for justice against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is blatant, that I must go down and see if their wicked actions are as great as the outrage that has come to me, and if not, then I will know." As Yahweh's two companions went on toward Sodom, Abraham remained there as Yahweh paused before Abraham. This is the courts of heaven in action. God saying, okay, Abraham, a report, an accusation has come before my court against Sodom and Gomorrah. And I, along with these, you know, the two angels, are going to investigate. I myself am going to investigate to see if this report is correct. And then Abraham, in turn, starting in verse 23, and you can continue reading this on your own, he starts to intercede. He starts to make his case as to why, if God should relent, what if there's 50, what if there's 45, what if there's 40, 30, on down to 10. God says that if there were 10 righteous, he would spare the cities. But because of Abraham's intercession, Lot and his daughters, of course, his wife turned back, but Lot and the brothers-in-law, and you know, they didn't leave with them, but Lot and his daughters were saved. And so this is the courts of heaven in action, and I wanted to present to you a foundation about this before I start to go head on into the Great White Throne Judgment aspect of it. The reason I brought up about Deuteronomy is because just as heaven, just as the believers in Jesus Christ are, their eternal life begins now. Of course, you can do a change of address, but those that are non-believers, their eternal death, spiritual death, begins now. And because the Bible even says in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? So, we're going to come back to another segment. But I want you to think about these things. Okay? Really and sincerely. And Father, right now, before we go to the next segment, I ask that the courts of heaven be seated and the books open according to Daniel 7, verses 9 to 10. On behalf of all of humanity, Lord. And Lord, whenever those that listen to this podcast, whenever they repent, or whatever their response may be, Father, I ask that their responses would be marked in the courts of heaven. In Jesus' name. I thank you for sending angelic officers of the court that are scribes that will mark their responses and bring them back before the courts of heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say this. My purpose in teaching this is not to proselytize anybody into the courts of heaven teaching or anything like that. It's you know, I understand, you know, but my purpose is to solely follow the Lord, follow Christ, and do as I feel like He has instructed me to do, and to teach this, the perspective on what's it going to be like on the Day of Judgment from the perspective, if you will, of the judge, from the judicial perspective. From the perspective of the courts of heaven, so I'll be right back. Welcome back. I am now going to be using the Passion Translation as well of the Bible. And looking up Revelation chapter 20. Didn't go as far as I wanted it to, so let me. There we go. So we're going to begin at verse 1. Then I saw a mighty angel descending from the heavenly realm, holding a heavy chain and a key. The key of the deep. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent known as the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. The mighty angel who threw him into the pit locked it. No, the mighty angel threw him into the pit, locked it, and sealed it, so that he could no longer deceive the nations until the 1,000 years were over. After that, he must be loosed for a brief time. Then I saw thrones, and those who sat on them were given the authority to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. They had refused to worship the wild beast or its image and did not have their foreheads or hands marked by the wild beast. They lived and reigned with the Christ for 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. Wonderfully blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second second death holds no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of the Christ. And they will reign as kings with him 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be let loose from the prison and will go out and deceive the nations of the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. He will bring them together for battle, and they will be as numerous as grains of sand on the seashore. They spread out over the earth and surrounded the camp of God's holy believers and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and completely destroyed them. Then the devil who deceived them was thrown into the same place with the wild beast and the false prophet, the lake of fire and sulfur, where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, based on this, I personally do not believe, could be wrong, that the Gog-Magog war, I believe this is speaking of the Gog-Magog war, could be wrong though. But verse 11, it says, "Then I saw a great dazzling white throne, and the one who sat on it. Heaven and earth fled from his presence, and they were no more." This represents God as sitting on that throne, ready to judge the living and the dead. As the word says, you know, God judges the quick and the dead. "I saw the dead, the lowly and the famous alike, standing before the throne. Books were opened, and then another book was opened, the book of life. The dead were judged by what they had done as recorded in the books." I want to speak to you for a minute. Every idle word that you speak will be remembered. You'll be held accountable on the day of judgment. There are people who have testified to seeing the Great White Throne Judgment. There's one person, it's like you're in a line. I apologize, I can't remember the rest of it. But they saw one person judged, you know, evaluated, if you will, for something that they put on Facebook that led a lady astray, or led someone astray from Christ. And there are many reasons. You know, many of you are in the occult today. And maybe even some believers have backslid, you know, got caught up in that. The Bible says that if the righteous do not turn from their, if they turn away from their righteousness and a watchman does not warn them, the righteous will die in their unrighteousness and their righteousness will be remembered no more. So yes, God is empathetic. Yes, God is understanding that, you know, maybe you're going through a death of a loved one or things like that. And so am I. God recognizes also that some of you may have gotten into the occult because of trauma. You know, maybe it could even be that this is something that you were born. You know, your parents were Satanists, or, you know, were in the occult in some way. And God understands the reasoning, but he still has to abide by the laws that he put forth. He still cannot contradict the word of God. Oh, it's okay. You know, I understand you were sick and you went to the psychic because you were sick. You know, he can't do that. He's not going to do that. He's a just God. And so what is written in the law I believe that what he called Israel to record, what he had Moses record, I think it was in Deuteronomy 13 and stuff, those laws, when it says, just when you read that and you read the words shall be put to death on such things as like the occult and even homosexuality, you know, just any substitute the words shall be put to death for shall be in danger of hellfire, because that's the second death, and that's the spiritual death. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. There is none righteous, no, not one. Mankind, using, I don't know what words, well, let me just say it this way. Using the words, I think, of Calvin, the Calvinists, mankind has total depravity. If you look in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve were the first sinners to walk on this earth. They started out perfect. You know, they walked with God in the cool of the day, and God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or don't eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, or you will surely die. Satan said, hath God said, you know, not to eat of the trees of the garden? And Eve, basically, to make a long story short, Adam and Eve both ate of that tree that God commanded them explicitly not to eat of. And that's when sin began in the human race. Sin originally began with Lucifer and his fall from heaven. But it carried on over into mankind when Adam and Eve sinned. And ever since then, now we've got the sin nature. That's why Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. The Bible says that Jesus didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but except that the world through him might be saved. But that those that do not believe in him are already condemned, You know, because they love darkness. Something to that effect. That's in John 3:18. But today, the Lord has sent me here to help you face this judgment now, so that perhaps, which of course God won't break your free will, but if you'll say yes to Him, He'll grant you repentance and you will have a change of address, and no longer will you be partaking of the second death, but you'll be able to partake in eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I ask the Holy Spirit to surpass words, to speak to each of you individually. And I believe that He's doing that. So no matter what it is that you are sensing, that, wow, I need to repent of this, I never thought this was a sin, I just encourage you to come. You know, your Creator God, I hear Him saying, come, let us reason together. Though your sins may be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as wool. And in other words, he wants to show you mercy. Beloved, God does not want anyone to perish. That's why He seems slow. You know, people ask, well, where is your Jesus that you've talked about? Why hasn't He come yet? It's because of you. He's waiting. He doesn't want that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, and God even exhorts us in Scripture, in, I think, 2 Timothy 2, when we're told to pray for the leaders in authority. He even says then, God wants that all should come to repentance. Amen? Verse 13 of Revelation 20. And the sea gave up the dead souls that were in it. Then death and the underworld, or hell, gave up their dead, and all were judged according to what they had done. Verse 14. Then death and the realm of the dead were cast into the lake of fire, or then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. For the lake of fire is the second death. And here's the kicker. And anyone whose name was not recorded in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Today, if you were to die, would you die knowing, yes, my name is written in the book of life? There are some of you that think yourselves to be Christians, and I hear the Lord saying that He's even speaking to your heart. What is He saying to you? There was once a time that I listened to a pastor's testimony, and I actually prayed and asked the Lord to judge me as if it were the day of judgment. And because that way, if if I lived a double life or whatever, I would not be damned. I would go and, you know, to heaven with my Lord that I love so much. And when I listen to this testimony, with the attitude of prayer, I heard the Lord speak to me and say, similar to how he told this pastor, if I were to come today to get my bride, I would not come and get you. I would not be able to come and get you. And those of you that follow the podcast, I've told this story before. This was during the time that this was shortly after, I think it was, the time that I had just gotten through and I dedicated myself to not listen to any more true crime stories, true crime documentaries. True crime had become an idol in my life. And there are some of you today that the Lord is saying to you, if I were to come for my bride, son or daughter, I would not be able to come and get you. I even hear him saying now that he would have to regretfully say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Or, in the words of Matthew 25:46, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, he said, because of the way you've lived. That as much as it would break his heart to have to do so, he would have to. So I'm imploring you, in fact with tears, to turn. Turn away from your lifestyle. Turn away from your compromise. Ma'am, turn away from your horror movies. Turn away from idolizing your kids or your grandkids. Turn away from that gang lifestyle. Teenagers, and I'm just sharing, I'm speaking this as I feel the Lord leading me to speak it. Turn away from the video games. This podcast could have been one of the tools that God used to prevent you from being the next killer. God says, come to me, you heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God says, I have placed eternity in your heart. Jesus says, I want to be your advocate now. I want to be your advocate, not your judge. Which is what's going to happen on the Great White Throne Judgment. He says, please come into my arms and let me be your advocate. Let me bear the burden that you are carrying. Son or daughter. Let me fill that void that you're trying to fill with the pleasures of this world. If you've already begun your prayer of repentance, just you can continue that, or you can write down the list of what you feel like the Lord has led you to do, and we're gonna go to another segment. And I'm going to pray with you, okay? And actually, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to say a prayer, but I just want you to pray this in your, I want you to pray a prayer similar to this in your own words. I want you to say something like, Father, I know, or no, God, I know that you're calling my name. I am faced with the sin that I have committed all of my life. I know that if you were to come back for your bride, you would not be able to come back for me. Because of your holiness. Something to that effect. I know deep down within me that I am in desperate need. I am a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. Lord, or I mean, God, I want to flee from your wrath. I want to flee from the wrath to come. I want to come into your arms, not just by way of fire insurance, but because I don't want to live this way anymore. And from what I've heard today, it won't get easier after this life. Lord Jesus, I accept. I call you my Lord and my Savior. And I accept the challenge. I mean, I accept your call, that you want to be my advocate with the Father. Everything that you died for me to receive, Lord Jesus, I now receive it fully. and ask that your blood would speak on my behalf and that you would come into my heart. And be everything to me. Be that friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Something like that. This is a very somber moment. And I just want to invite you if you prayed something along those lines, maybe you're still praying right now as I'm talking. Maybe it's a little bit longer. But once you get through, welcome. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven and to the family of God. I want to be the first now to congratulate you. And if you did, I would encourage you to comment below on the podcast or on YouTube. Or you can contact us. You can just go to www.stormministries.com and then hit contact. Or you can write to Preach Unto Them Jesus or Put J, P.O. Box 7293. Edmond, Oklahoma, 73013. Again, that's Preach Unto Them Jesus or Put J, 729, P.O. Box 7293, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73013. You can also email Kingdom Advancement, KingdomAdvancement 252@gmail.com. These are all the ways that you can contact us if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or if you just want to let us know that, also on the Storm Ministries website that I mentioned, there's a link that says Salvation. But, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. I would invite you to, I mentioned previously that the next podcast was going to be Pastor Mickey's, let's just say it's going to be one of those that are coming up, but I want to invite you to continue to listen to this podcast, and as we bring to you the Word of God, but I also would encourage you to get into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church that preaches the Holy Word of God also. This is just a supplement. It's another way that you can get the Word of God in your life. But I also would encourage you to get a Bible. Start reading the book of Matthew, or no, the book of John. That talks about the love of God. And once you get the book of John real good in you, then start over with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And just read the four Gospels until you get them down into your spirit, and then go on to Acts, Romans, and on down to the end of the New Testament. Once you get all of the New Testament in your spirit, then start reading the Old. Then you can read it from cover to cover. But I would encourage you to get about a regular time of reading the Word of God. You know, Bible study. And prayer life, things like that. And also, I thought a while ago that we were going to do the curse breaking, but I felt from the Spirit to say, you know, no, not today. But I would invite you to get, you know, you can go to either boblarson.org, justind.com, or dwjd.org, and just follow the prompts. There's regions for the United States if you're there, and I'm not sure where the other ones are, but primarily that's what I see. But anyway, follow the prompts on these websites, and then you'll be able to get deliverance through them. So, Also, Liberation Freedom Ministry is another one. But thank you all very much for listening. And may God bless you.